Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you've been doing. We thank you for what you will do. We ask during these next couple of minutes that you open our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear your will and your word. We ask you send your Holy Spirit to anoint us in a new way. And build us into the mature disciples that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I was a, I played baseball. Anybody play baseball? I played baseball. Growing up, that was like top priority. Pretty much went like baseball, hunting, girls, and then Jesus came like fourth or so. Some of you guys can relate to that. And so I was a pretty smart kid. I got into the University of Texas and was invited to... I was invited to walk on to the baseball team, and I got to suit up for 2 days, and then was asked to gave me an invitation to come back and like work out, and gave me the key, and you can try out next year. It's all good, but you just don't have it this year. I've always like big and strong and tall have never been things that describe me. I probably weighed about 30 pounds less than I did at that time, but I've always been short, so I was just kind of overlooked. When baseball was taken away, I just sort of, I thought I'd just go ahead and stay. Now, Steubenville was a place that I had heard of, and I knew that it existed. And I'm not going to lie, my junior and even into my senior year, I really did think about going to Franciscan. But again, baseball was top priority. And so I stayed around at University of Texas, and really just, Austin is really, really fun. And too fun, actually. And I hung around. I just messed around, and it's not so much that I lost my faith, but I just lost me. I really didn't recognize myself anymore. And there was a point in time where it wasn't like a conversion experience, but it was more like an experience where have you ever had these, like, where you see yourself in kind of like a third person way, and you see who you've become and who you are, and then you're just kind of like, oh, that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. That's kind of what happened. And I had a 1.6 GPA. Okay, I was top 10 in high school my senior year, and I had a 1.6 at Texas. I had a 4.0 in beer, and mess around in Austin. I just wasn't who I was supposed to be. And I didn't like that. So it kind of happened in an evening time. And I just drove straight home to my house in Houston. And I woke up my mom, who I think had been like praying for like 20 years that I went to Franciscan University. I just woke her up and I was like, Mom, I got to go to Steubenville. Like, I'm going, like, I gotta get out of this environment because I'm not who I want to be. And of course, I think she just started crying and, you know, was like, okay, we'll go. First semester, I made Dean's List, and I ended up graduating from Franciscan, like, with, you know, honors and all these different things. Like, I was smart. I just was fooling around. But I tell you that story just because I want you to know that when I'm like talking to you about like where you go from here and what's going to happen and all those things, in all charity, I just want you to know that you like are not invincible, okay? I was sitting right where you were and just kind of saying, I'm going to this school, I'm going to do this thing, and it's all good because my faith is strong, and I'm going to wear my Jesus shirts, and I'm going to wear my cross, and everything's going to be cool, and I'm actually going to go, and I'm going to convert my school, you know, like I'm going to go. Have anybody ever thought of that? Like, you're just like, I'm going, but I'm going to like be a light in that darkness, right? That's literally where I was. And I say that just with charity, that I'm not up here like just saying this, not from experience. I've kind of experienced all the highs and lows of, you know, Jesus in my life. And, you know, I'm sure if you're a senior now, how many of you are seniors and this is your very first like spiritual retreat or conference? Anybody? Okay, there's like a few of you, but for most of us, like we've all experienced this thing where, you know, you do the thing in the summer, or maybe it's your fall retreat, or maybe it was a mission trip, and you get this spiritual high, and then, you know, and that lasts for a little while, and then, you know, like inevitably, you know, you fall, you crash. And it seems like the trend for me, and I don't know if this is your experience as well, but like the trend for me has always been like the higher I was, you know, spiritually, like a spiritual high, like the higher I got in that, like the further I crashed every time I went home. And every time, has anybody like experienced that? You're just like, Jesus. And then you just like crash, man. And then you got to go on the next retreat and you get back Jesus high, and then you just crash again. And I guess I thought in my life, like I would find, you know, I was like on this roller coaster, and I would find like this middle ground, you know, like between like Jesus high and like high, you know, like somewhere, like if I could just like be, you know, somewhere in this zone, but not like Jesus, not like crazy radical, but like also not, you know, who I was when I was not in relationship with him. And so, I want this session to be a real like reality check for you. I'm not going to try to make this like entertaining, mostly because I want you to understand that when you go from here, it's not going to be the way that it was when you were in high school. It's not going to be fed to you the same way. Your faith is pretty much going to depend on what you give it and what you put into it. And that, and for some of us, that's already been happening. But this is, you know, this has always kind of been the way that it's happened. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you have your Bible or your smartphone or whatever, you can turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, excuse me, chapter 3. It starts like this. It says, "But I, brethren, could not address you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as babes in Christ." So Paul is saying, he's like, okay, like I still can't talk to you as spiritual men. Actually, you're still just babies. And so when I addressed you like babies, you know? You know how you have to talk to a baby, you know, really slow and really intentional, and you got to kind of get down on their level and you got to talk to them like this. You can't just carry on a conversation, you know, unless they're homeschooled. Like, you know, they're not really having adult conversation. Yeah. You know, woo. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I homeschool my kids. It's all good. Verse 2 says this. He says, "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even yet, you are not ready." So he's saying, he's talking, he's like, you're like babies. You're like little babies in Christ. You're not spiritual men yet. I can't even feed you solid food yet. I can only feed you milk. Okay. When he's talking about milk, you know, like we're not in an age where, you know, cow's milk or goat's milk or even is really readily available. When he's saying, I fed you with milk, the literal translation is that he's, you know, breastfeeding them as babes, okay? That's the reference he's making. Now, I have 7 children. I told you that last night. And every single one of them, my wife has grown in her body and she has, you know, labored and delivered every single one of these kids. And by a miracle, you know, God has created women. You have, your bodies are miracles. It's unbelievable what your bodies can do. We men, I mean, we pale in comparison to what you can do with your body. Okay. My wife feeds the babies from her body, like from her very breast, she feeds these babies. And that is absolutely beautiful, okay? It's unbelievable that that can happen for like, you know, 1, 2, 3, you know, a long time. She can feed them and they're fine and they're fat and they're chubby. And I'll show you some pictures of them. Like they're just big and fat and people are like, wow, like what are you feeding them? And it's just like, mama. Like mama is feeding them and they are fat and it's absolutely gorgeous, right? Now breastfeeding, we could all agree that breastfeeding is it's beautiful. It's a miracle. God created that. It's awesome. It's unbelievable that can happen. Breastfeeding is beautiful to a point. Okay? You feel me? Like breastfeeding is beautiful to a point, meaning there is a certain age where a child should not, in my opinion, be breastfeeding. And I apologize if you were that kid who was like, you know, a little older, you know, still breastfeeding, but like, that's weird. And this is what Paul is saying. Paul is not saying like, I poured you a glass of milk and I gave it to you. And that's what you, cause that was what you could handle. He's saying literally like you're still babies. And it's weird that I still have to nurse you. It's strange. Like I cannot give you solid food anymore because you're still not ready for it. But I wish you were ready for it. And unfortunately, this is the state of things in our culture that we, literally, when I come, I should be addressing, you know, young men and women who are ready to eat solid food. But when we come to these conferences, oftentimes, honestly, if I could just be totally honest, like, that's how I feel. And I'm walking up, and I'm like, all right, come to mama. You know, like, this is what I can give you. And you're lapping it up and you're like, oh, this is so good and I love Jesus and the whole thing. But here's what I need to tell you. Graduated seniors, listen to me. Look at me. It's time to grow up. And I need you to think about this for a moment. How many years have you been following Christ? Like, how old are you in Christ? If you had your initial conversion 4 years ago at a Steubenville conference, you're a 4-year-old. It's time for you to get off the teat, okay? Like it's getting awkward. Like you're too big to be coming to mom saying, I want some milk. It's time for you. There's a point in time where kids, where babies, they start growing up. And if you have little siblings, you know this. They don't want to be fed anymore. They are literally going, I want to do it. You have siblings that do that? And they're like, no, me. Give me that fork, you know? And they try to eat themselves, you know, and they're spilling it everywhere. But they're trying. Okay? And if you're, and I know this for a fact that this is the theme as young adults, as you grow up and you're young adults, you know, college students, I hear this all the time from folks your age and a little bit older. They're going like, man, I went to college and there's like nothing for me. There's nothing for me. There's all this stuff for high schools, but there's nothing for me. And this is my response every time. It's time. It's time to grow up. And some of you are there. Some of you know what it's like to take a big old slab of scripture, you know, butcher it, you know, throw it on the grill, marinate it with stuff, cut it up, and eat the word yourself. You know what it's like to feed yourself on the word. I know you do. But for a lot of us, we have never experienced what it's like to really feed ourselves. And this is just fair warning, a warning shot, okay? How many of you are going to college? That's your next step. Okay, fair warning. It's not like this. It's not. You're gonna be a stranger in a strange land. And some of you already know this from high school, but you could still go high, you could still go youth group, and you could still go to Steubenville, and you could still go confirmation retreat, you could still do all those things. It's not like that out there. Now, you're going to go to schools, we'll have focused missionaries, you're going to go and you're going to have, you know, great Newman centers and different Catholic centers and things like that, but the majority of the movement of everybody is just classwork, and then I'm so stressed out, I just need to smoke something, you know, like, or it's just classwork, and I just got to go let off steam. Can I just go let off some steam? Can we have a kegger, please, right now? I'm so stressed out, right? That's the storyline of college. And some of you are looking at me like, sounds good to me, man. Like, and that's fine. You know, good luck with that. You know, drive fast, take chances. It's a tragedy, but some of you are just going to do that. I know that I'm not going to reach some of you. You're going to be sitting right there, and you're going to do what you want to do in college, and that's cool. But for those of you who are, like, literally desiring a holy life, like, you want to be a saint, like Father Leo said last night, it's going to take your initiative. It is not going to be fed to you anymore. It's not. You want to learn about the saints? It's going to have to be your initiative. You're going to have to pick up a book. You want to take the scripture? You're going to have to just pick up the scripture, right? How many of you are going into the military? 1, 2, 3, 4. Awesome. Praise God. Believe it or not, you're actually going to have a little bit easier time. And even though the people are similar, okay, your disciplined life is going to lend itself to more contemplation, to more reading, okay? You just add 2 minutes in before you have to get up for prayer, okay? That sort of stuff. You're going to have the same challenges, but it's going to have to be your initiative, okay? I wish our chaplain services were going to be attacking you with the word and inviting you on cool retreats and mission. It's just not going to happen. It's going to have to be you. How many of you guys are just hanging out and you're like, man, I'm just going to take a year, travel, do the thing. Yeah, man, it's good. All right, great. That's what I'm like trying to convince my kids to do. Like, just take a year, man. Don't worry about it. You know, I want to go find myself in college. Well, there's a lot cheaper ways to find yourself. Please don't spend $35,000 finding yourself. Okay. So same deal. You're gonna be able to stay around at your church, in your church community. You're gonna be able to do this thing, but again, it's gonna have to be you. And I would challenge you, the temptation is gonna be if you're just hanging out, or even if you're going to college in your hometown. How many of you are going to college in your hometown? Okay. The temptation is going to be you're gonna be a fifth year high school student. And you're going to hang around in your high school youth group, and you're going to be like, oh, I'm a volunteer. But you're really going to be drinking the milk that mama's still feeding you, okay? You need to grow up. It's going to have to take you saying, I am no longer in high school, you know? I hate to say this, but I don't want to see you here next year. If you're going into college, don't come back here. Go to something else. There's actually Steubenville Encounters, okay? They're young adult, right? So there's next level type stuff, all right? Don't sit. I've seen it so many times where graduated seniors just hang out in there. I'm sorry if that's you, if you're like, you snuck into the graduated senior and you're actually a fifth year high school student. I just see it so many times. But again, it's just this idea of it's time to get off the teat. It's time for you to grow up, to start feeding yourselves, okay? So again, warning shot. I want to congratulate you on graduating, on accomplishing that. It's huge. That's a huge deal. Next level stuff is you're adults, and it's gonna take you really pouring in to the spiritual life. It's gonna have to be you. Two life hacks, okay, that I'm going to share with you, and then we're going to go to question and answer real quick, okay? I feel 4:15, I think. 4:15, somebody tell me? Yeah, 4:15. Okay, so two life hacks. Write these down if you got notes, all right? First is this, all right? You want to live a holy life and you want to be a saint, and you, this is the simplest thing to do, and it literally changed my life, okay? Changed my life when I was your age. You take your Bible right before you go to bed, okay? And you open it up to a letter. Don't even mess with the Old Testament, okay? Yet. Open it up to a letter. Open it up to Romans or Hebrews or Ephesians. Open it up to Corinthians, right? Philippians or Colossians or 1st or 2nd Peter. Open it up to one of the letters, all right? And don't read it, okay? Don't read it. Just open it up to a page. Put it right next to your bed on your nightstand, okay? You know where your phone is charging right there? That's where you put your Bible, all right? Let's just say put it right over your phone, okay? Because I know even as a grown person, my first temptation when I wake up in the morning is what? Checking Instagram, man. Checking in. What's going on? What happened while I was sleeping, you know? Checking Facebook or whatever it might be. And don't act like it doesn't happen. Or Twitter or whatever. Or Periscope. Is anyone on Periscope? Raise your hand if you're on Periscope. Okay, good. I am so glad, because somebody told me that's the thing, and I'm like, I didn't believe him, so it's not yet. So you take, it's still not yet, it's good, I got time. So you take your Bible, you open it up to a letter, okay, and then once you've done that for a while, you can start reading the Gospels, but just open up it to a letter, and then the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, okay, is you read the Bible. You just read a paragraph. You take 1 minute before your feet hit the ground. Maybe you could even turn around and read on your bed. You're not praying. You're not trying to think of anything big and grand, like, oh, ineffable God, you are. So, you know, you don't have to do that, okay? You just listen to what God has to say to you in the scripture. One paragraph, two paragraphs. If you're really getting interested and you got some time, go ahead and read the chapter. Okay? But you're not taking this huge time out of your day. You're not taking this massive chunk, like you need to be praying 20 minutes in the adoration chapel. That's all great and fine and good. And I hope that's a part of your spiritual, you know, discipline eventually. But for now, just take it easy. Take little tiny practical steps towards sainthood. And that's a great way to do it. Okay? Second life hack, all right? Second life hack. When and I'm going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow, but when Jesus was asked to reduce everything in the law down to two things, he said this: love God with everything that you have, all your soul, all your strength, all your heart, all your being, everything. Love God with everything that you have. And then love who? Come on, guys. Leading your neighbor as yourself, right? Okay, so these two things, right? Keep it simple. The greatest mistake is when you start to feed yourself and you're just going out there and you start like taking humongous chunks of meat that you have no idea what they are, okay? When I say love God more than anything else, it's understandable. It's not easy, right? But it's simple. Just in everything you do, that means you love God more than your grades. It means you love God more than your shoes. It means you love God more than your fraternity or your sorority or your hair or your girlfriend or boyfriend. You just love God more than anything else. And then the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Not easy, but simple. Now, who is your neighbor? Everyone. That's what we normally say. Everyone's our neighbor. It's this metaphorical thing. Neighbor. Like, it's so metaphorical. And so when you think of neighbor as metaphorical, what happens? You end up loving them metaphorically, okay? You don't actually love anybody. You just love everybody, okay? When Jesus said, love your neighbor, I'm pretty sure he understood that we would understand what a neighbor was, okay? Love your neighbor. Like your neighbor, neighbor. Like your neighbor, okay? Your actual neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Did I say this enough? Love your neighbor as yourself. Start there. Don't think neighbor is like this metaphorical thing, like, oh, I gotta go to Haiti to love my neighbor. I gotta go over here to love my neighbor. I gotta go over here to, oh, that's my neighbor on the corner. This is my neighbor. No, God says love your neighbor. your neighbor. Okay? That's your suite mate. That's your roommate. That's the dorm room right next door. That's your neighbor. If you're living in a house, that's your neighbor. Okay? What does this do? This calls us out of our comfort zone way more than a mission trip. It's easy to fly in somewhere and be like, hey, I'm here to save the day and paint your church. You know, like, that's easy. Try loving the guy who disagrees with your worldview. Try loving the person who has the annoying dog. Try loving the person that plays the loud music at night. Try loving the person right next door. That will make you a saint. We have a saying in our Adore Ministries. We say 10-foot radius. That's it. If you concentrated on loving the person just within your 10-foot radius, I promise you, okay, that you will become a saint. Because again, it calls you out of your comfort zone. It's just like, man, you know. So shut down your screens, you know, get off the computer, love the person right next to you, okay? Scripture in the morning, loving God more than anything else, love your neighbor. You got it? Those three things, you guys, and you'll start to feed yourself. Amen? All right. Okay, so we've got 10,000 steps. Thank you. That's right. Anybody else hit 10,000 today? They already hit 10,000? No? Almost. What's that? Your mom probably did. All right. All right, so we've got about 10 minutes. Just to take some questions, all right, about this next step. What's next? There's no sense in me explaining where you're going or answering questions that you're not asking. So I want to hear your questions, and I will try my best to answer them. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so all of your friends are non-Catholic or just some of them? Okay, so a lot of your friends, so you're not going to be in your youth group anymore, but a lot of your friends are just not, they don't practice their faith like you do. Okay, and so your question is? Okay, how socially you'll meet other people. There's plenty of ways, but, you know, dances, mixers, you know. No, for real though, you're gonna go to church, okay? And your parish community is your community. You know, and I think for a lot of us, we've existed in a place in high school where we group together into things that are like us, right? The sports we play, the type of music we listen to, the way we dress, et cetera, et cetera. When you get into gospel living, when you become a gospel practitioner, you're actually going to hang out with people that don't look anything like you, that are not like you. Okay. Now, if that's causing you to, you know, stray away from your faith, or you're becoming someone that you don't even know and that you don't want to be, obviously you're going to have to flush them. They're going to have to be gone out of your life. But those people at your church, like, you're becoming an adult. This is what I want to tell you. You're an adult, and there's adults who go to Mass, okay? Like, you're an adult. So, you know, to say that there's nothing for you is ridiculous. There is something for you. It's called the church, all right? It's called the sacraments. You know, so people your age might not be as common at Mass, but adults are, you know. I'd recommend just befriending adults. I mean, as simple as that. Yes. No, it's the same thing, man. I mean, we all need. You listening or are you talking? Okay. We all have needs for affirmation. Okay, we all have needs to be loved. And so if you're not feeding yourself, you're going to go outside, you know, if God's not feeding you in the word and you're not loving, you're going to go outside yourself to try to find that affirmation. And that is the same across the board. Now it's not going to look like, drinking binges perhaps at Franciscan, but even worse sometimes is the facade of holiness. Okay. Peer pressure at Franciscan is like, yo, bro. You going to mass? You know, like, and you're like, well, like, of course I'm going to mass. Cause I am like, I was just praying my rosary, you know, like that is, there's a lot that's really ugly about that too. You know what I'm saying? So I would say, you know, be real, you know, take off the mask. Don't try to be, Mr. Righteous or whatever. Just be yourself there. And just continue to feed your spiritual life in that way. But don't, yeah, if you're going to a Catholic school, I mean, a lot of these things are just, it's the same thing.
There's actually weed in Steubenville.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I know. Yeah. But I mean, it's not a normal school, but like there's temptations just from the world because it exists in the world. It's not a bubble. Okay. Yeah. You said you're going to a public school? What school are you going to? Okay, cool. Right. Yeah, so there. I guarantee you there's a Newman Center. I guarantee you there's a place. Am I right? I don't know the school, but is anybody familiar? Okay, is there a Catholic center? No? Okay, yeah. Well, then, so you're staying home? Yeah, well, I would just say again, like you're an adult now in the community. You're not in the high school youth group anymore. There, I don't know about your specific parish if there's something specifically for young adults. But again, you're becoming an adult, so look for adult formation experiences, right? Look for things like that within your parish. You're gonna have to step out of your comfort zone. You're gonna be the youngest person in the group. You know, you're gonna be the youngest person at daily mass. There's no way around that. But again, as an adult, you're going to have to be reaching out more to people who aren't exactly like you, who actually become more truer friends than the people that you met in high school and that you hung out in high school. Because in high school, we all just have masks and we think we're friends and we think we're together and we think we have a community, but actually we just all have similar masks. It's like a pseudo community. And we all stand together and we're like, oh, we're all alike. And it's like, nope, you're just all wearing the same mask, right? But in the real world, when you become an adult and you become a gospel practitioner, you take off the mask and no one looks the same. Everyone is different. And you take off that mask and you're all ugly and you're just yourself and you're just like, I don't know. I'm just trying to make it in this world, you know, like, and everybody's like, me too, you know. So really those people, I mean, I'm friends with people of all, you know, of all ages now. Because of that, because I think that really true friendship and true community is built by just people taking off their mask as opposed to just having similar masks. Right, and I hope you didn't take my saying like grow up, like don't. But there are experiences, there are things for your age. But what I was saying was don't become dependent on those things because it's going to be a lot fewer and far between the opportunities. Obviously, you're going to be pursuing, you know, your studies. And your careers and things like that. And so things change when you're an adult. But there are experiences and there are, you know, forums and retreats and things like that for your age group. So that's good. Thank you. Yeah, what's up? Oh, gosh, it's such a fine line. He said, is there any specific advice with not putting a sport above Christ? Okay, so a lot of people ask that question, and they say, how do I balance my faith with, like, sports or studies and things like that? And I would say that there is no balance. There's no balance in this, okay? If you're not pursuing Christ, you know, first and foremost, if you're not loving God above everything else, I mean, what's it for? This life is so fast, okay? Now, as you pursue Christ, things are going to happen behind you. It's like a wake in a boat, you know? Like, if you're going, I mean, and if you're driving a boat, anybody, boat, I love fishing. So, you know, when you're running, you know, full throttle, you know, like when you're going, you're not looking at your weight. You're not looking at what's going on behind you. You're just full throttle that way. Now your wake is going to be great. Okay. And whether that happens in your career or your sports or whatever happens back there, that's fine, you know, but as long as you're still moving that way. Now, if you were to drive a boat and be looking at your, you know, like your wake the entire time, that's ridiculous, okay? You're going to crash or you're going to have to stop or something. So I would say pursue Christ with everything. And what happens with your skills and your gifts and your uniqueness, whether that's sports or studies or, you know, evangelization or whatever, that's just going to happen behind you, okay? So so I would say don't try to balance those two. Don't try to be like, okay, I got to make time for this. No, just go for Jesus. And the things behind, the wake is just going to happen. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Say what? Oh, okay. How will you go about, okay, so if you're going to big university, how would you go about asking somebody what religion, or just to go to church with you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's asking, like, how do you go about asking them what religion they are? What religion are you? I don't know, like, maybe, my advice, like, for people who are unlike you or you're not sure, like, I say, you know, get a burrito, you know? Like, get a burrito. That's it. I mean, that really is the answer to so many questions. I know that sounds ridiculous, but like when people, you know, because when people say like combat, like, you know, let's go, how do I combat, you know, all these people who are pro-abortion? You know, I'm like, get a burrito with somebody who's pro-abortion. Just get a burrito with them. Like, don't, you know, we're not going to change the world by Facebook posts and yelling at people and all that stuff. We're going to change the world by eating burritos with people, you know? Like, just everybody chill out. So the idea of like trying to make a friend or bring somebody to church with you, I would say first step before you invite them to church, invite them to a burrito. Yeah. Love Chipotle. Yeah. Actually, breakfast burritos, I think, are my favorite. That's the best. You know, coffee, egg, breakfast burrito. Yeah. But yeah, good question. I mean, I hope you do that. I hope that's everybody's goal, you know, is to go out there and be like, hey, come to church with me. But I would say it's as simple as that. Be bold. Yep. Okay, one more. Yeah, in the back. Say again. I mean, like, so you're anticipating people, like, attacking your faith? Why are you going there? Sports. Okay. Yeah, first I would say just, like, get a burrito with them. You know, if they're hounding you and they're, like, throwing, you know, mad scripture at you and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, just be like, you want to go get a burrito? Like, let's just... Because here's the reason again, it's humanizing, okay? If all we're doing is just throwing theology at each other and somebody just wants to come up and attack your theology and why do you believe this and you're going to hell because of this and that, just be like, yo, bro, like, Let's just get a burrito. Like, stop. You know, like, why are you doing this to me? Like, it's that's awkward. That's weird. Why would you just want to, like, tear me down? You know, can't we just have a meal together? You know, it's not for no reason that Christ did that. He went into the Pharisees' homes. He went into the tax collectors' homes. What was he doing there? Eating burritos. Well, like, not burritos, but, you know, it was probably like, yeah, it was like pita. Yeah, it's like pita, stuffed pitas or something. I don't know. Hummus, I don't know. Olives. All right. Yeah, but I would just say, like, you know, don't take it real seriously. If somebody's coming, and this goes for every school, because you're going to get, you know, all sorts of, you know, atheists and people who are going to be challenging your faith. And, you know, you wear a cross or crucifix, you know, be bold, do that stuff. That's great. You get challenged, you know, humanize it and go, why are you treating me like I'm some less of a human? You know, like, stop attacking me. Let's, you know, let's go have a meal together. Let's, you know, let's, what do you like? Do you like playing sports, or what do you see any movies lately? I mean, just humanize it. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of fades in the background. Then we can get to that stuff later. You can get to that stuff later, you know. But just be human out there. Be human. And you don't do the same thing. Don't do that to people either, you know. Like, if you're on that end, and there's somebody who's just like, you know, has a completely different worldview than you. I think we have this combatant, militant attitude, and we're like, get out there and, like, tell all the people why they're wrong. Don't do that. That's not what Christ did. That's not what Christ did. Christ did not do that. The only people he got mad at were the people who thought they had it all together, which were the Pharisees, okay? So if you go in there and you're like, man, I got it all together and everybody else is wrong, guess who you are? Pharisee. Sorry, it's just the truth, okay? Don't go in there knowing, thinking you know everything, all right? Go in there with love. Love will change the world. Love will transform culture. Love, real love. Not just fake, like, I love you, but, like, love. Like, I care for you, and I want the best for you. Even if you have a differing worldview than me, even if your theology is way whack, I still love you, okay? That's how we will transform the world. Amen? Uno más? All right. Sweet. Online courses. All right. So, yeah. So they're attacking. So trolls. So internet trolls are attacking your Christianity. Oh. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Encouragement. Encouragement. Online encouragement goes so far, doesn't it? You ever get a simple note or a post or a like or a you know, a comment? And you're like, and it's just a person who's like, you are so great. Like, I love this picture and I love you. Heart, 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 smiley face, clappy hands. You know, like, like that. Don't those, like, lift your day? You're like, oh, man. So online, if you're doing a lot of online stuff, whether it's social media or online courses, I would say encourage, encourage, encourage. Always be a positive word there. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. God, we love you. We thank you for the earth, and we thank you for all that you've created. We thank you for every single son and daughter in this room. And we ask you, God, as they go forth from here, as they go into school and the military, or into a gap year, Lord, we pray that you strengthen them, that you encourage them, that you give them every virtue that they need to mature in you. Give them a passion for prayer, God. Give them a passion to know you in the scripture. Help them to love you. Help us to love you more than anything else. Help us to love our neighbor as ourself. We love you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we love you guys. See you later.